Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Well, it is time for the iPhone Alley podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show where we discuss all things iPhone, the iPod Touch, iTunes, iPhone 3.0, all that good stuff. Tonight, I'm joined by Mr. Jeff Gamet, as always, from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks again for having me on, because this is like a party on the internet.
It's always a party on the iPhone Alley podcast. Thanks for being here. And also here is Bill Palmer from iProng Magazine. Hey, Bill.
You know, 9 out of the top 10 albums in iTunes are from Michael Jackson. Did something happen to him?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he announced a new tour.
Oh. That must be it.
What, too early for jokes? Too soon?
You know, my feeling
leave it up to Bill Palmer for too soon jokes.
My feeling is it's either funny or it's not.
Wow.
That's true.
Did I laugh? I mean, can I get playback on that?
We're gonna have the reps do it. Yeah. let's call it the reps.
I should mention that Mr. George Mr. George Drage is graciously providing me with a Heil PR40 and some other technology that I don't understand to let me record this internet show. You can find him at, you know, he does this podcast called The Apple Juice Show, which is applejuiceshow.com, and he's on Twitter at twitter.com/gdrage. So be sure to check that out and send him a thank you on the Twitter, because you guys get to hear your iPhone Alley podcast, which I still don't understand why you care to listen anymore, because it only seems that we, you know, talk about Jeff's cat these days.
Hey, my office manager is great.
She is. And so let's talk about the iPhone with that. Apple, of course, released iPhone 3.0 to the general public. Do we both, Bill, do you have an iPhone 3GS?
No, I do not.
Okay. So they also released the iPhone 3GS, of course, on, I think 2 days after that. I have the 3GS. You guys have just the 3.0 on your iPhones. So how do you guys feel about 3.0 on the not super phone?
You know, for me, by and large, it felt like I got a little bit of a speed boost, although there's a few places where it feels like my iPhone is sluggish where it wasn't before. Like if I'm, say, in the Maps application and I want to look up a location, when I tap the little search field, it seems like there's a lag before I get my keyboard and before I can type. But finally, Mail works. Thank God. That's always been just the bane of my iPhone life, dealing with Mail being so slow all the time.
So Mail was just a total hog for you.
Oh, yeah. It was just painful trying to scroll through messages, and just the latency was atrocious. And I don't have that with Mail anymore. So I'm happy about that.
Awesome. Bill, do you Jeff, first of all, do you have a favorite feature in iPhone 3.0, just one that you could name of all, or is that it?
I'd have to say I am happiest about Mail performance now. Okay. That's just wrong. Wow.
What's that?
I said I'm happy about Mail performance now, and that just sounds wrong.
Okay.
And I like the system-wide search.
That's pretty great. The Spotlight is, you wouldn't think it on the iPhone, you know, on something as tiny and, you know, whatever as the iPhone, but it really does help.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with that.
So Bill, you want to name something that you don't like about 3.0 and then something that you do like about it?
Something I don't like is it's some of the pet peeves I've had with the iPhone since day one are still there. The lack of unified email inbox when you have two accounts is something that slows me down all day, every day. And the fact that you still, you turn the iPhone just a little bit sideways when you're playing music and it goes into cover flow and things that Apple and I are just clearly not on the same page about having been wrong about the iPhone from day one. I guess we'll wait another year. But overall, I really got to hand it to them because, you know, after releasing iPhone 2.0 last year, which for a lot of us was just buggy and crashing and unstable. Point of embarrassment, and even with 2.1, 2.2, 2.21, it would get incrementally better, but it was never really all that good. I thought it was never as stable as 1.0 or 1.1 had been, and yet here in their first attempt with 3.0, it's like they really took their time and they polished it, and I think it's already more stable and consistent than any iteration of 2.x was. So for that alone, I really got to hand it to them.
I'll let you say your what you like about 3.0. Before I talk about what I don't like.
You know, I don't know that I have, I'm not.
You don't like it at all?
No, what I'm trying to say, the stuff like search and copy and paste and turning the email sideways and stuff, that stuff was never missing to me. I was never sitting there saying, I wish it had this, why doesn't it have this? Now that I have it, it's sort of a slow thing of remembering that it's now there and that I can find ways to sort of change my habits to make it more efficient. So it's a lot different for me than someone else who was sitting there saying for 2 years, where the heck are these features? Now they just immediately dive in and use them. So it's been kind of slow going for me as far as figuring out a good reason to search as opposed to just looking up something manually.
Well, I think my favorite use for the search is to search through the little bookmark icons that I have, because you can, you know, of course, bookmark a website and throw it on your homepage. But for the most part, I want to have the apps in front of me. So I don't necessarily, I have my bookmark icons on the very last page. So it's almost, you know, never used before I had the search. But now with the search, I can just, you know, that's also indexed in the spotlight. And that lets me quickly bring up a web page.
How many pages of apps do you have?
Not as many as you'd assume. I have one. I have three pages of apps and one page of the bookmark icons.
That's exactly what I have. People tell me I don't have enough, but I don't know. I get confused.
It gets laggy, though, if you have too many apps. So
I guess I should delete some apps then. I'm up to 8 pages again.
Okay. See that? Having the springboard so full, it uses a lot of RAM, I found.
Yeah, but there's so many fun games out there.
There are. But I'm just, you know, if they're not on the phone, I totally forget because I'm crazy. So I don't even I don't remember that I can play games on my iPhone. If they're not there, I don't know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I actually compiled a big old list of stuff that we like. And I say we, I mean I, on the iPhone Alley, enjoy about 3.0. So I'll just go down that, if that pleases the audience. And by the audience, I mean Jeff.
Then so be it.
Okay. I really enjoy the new iTunes features. The fact that you know, you can grab movies and TV shows from iTunes. I thought that was really cool. And we talked about that before on the show. And so you can rent and purchase movies, you can purchase TV shows, and you can also get audiobooks, and you can preview the movies on your phone, which that's probably what I'll end up doing the most. I don't know how often I'm going to rent a movie. I haven't actually tried it yet, but I'm sure I'll do it at some point to give it a try. Have you guys done that yet?
I haven't done the movie thing yet, but I did go to Starbucks. You know what? On Tuesdays, they have new songs, little cards you can pick up and get a free song.
Right, yeah.
So I went into Starbucks and picked up one of the cards so that I could try the redeem code thing and see how that would work. And it worked really well. And it was like the best test I could possibly get because – the internet connection at Starbucks dropped out partway through downloading the song. But when I got back to my office and had my Wi-Fi here, it picked up and resumed the download.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. So it worked great. So that new feature is working pretty well, I'd say.
Cool. Well, you know, am I just crazy, or did the App Store at some point, like the App Store application on the phone, did that have a redeem feature to it and then it went away?
I don't think it had a redeem feature before.
It didn't.
But it did have the It had the download all for your updates, and then that went away and came back.
In 2.0, you know, in 2. Whatever, it had, you know, it didn't have the redeem feature, but I'm almost positive the App Store had a redeem feature in there. You know, if you want to let us know I'm crazy, you know, send us an email, podcast@iPhoneAlley. Let me know how crazy I am. I'm going to be getting a lot of emails.
You think they just yanked it remotely after a few days because it was...
It didn't work at all because I know I tried it.
Oh.
I'm almost positive it was there. And it didn't work ever.
Hmm.
So who knows?
But it works now.
But it's not there anymore.
Oh, wait, it's not there now?
The App Store redeem. The iTunes redeem, which has been there, still works.
Yeah. Okay. When iPhone OS 3.0 came out, the redeem feature was there.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to call history details. This is really cool. It's a nice little itty bitty addition, but now you can see, you know, extra details. You get a little table of information of incoming and outgoing calls, what time they occurred, how long they were, and what date they were on. Have you noticed that?
No, you know what I've noticed, though, now that you mentioned, is I got a call from New York City today, and in the call history, it actually said New York, New York underneath it, which I thought was really cool, and at least in hindsight, you know, because you miss a call, and you're like, what is area code, whatever, you know, 8910 or something. And
well, it definitely had the state before. I don't know if it had the city.
I think it was just this. I don't know. Something has changed about it, and of course, now we can't really go back and see what it was like in the old one unless we got an old iPhone or downgrade just to check. So that's, I think sometimes your memory starts to go on you a little bit because you're, how long is it?
There's too much stuff that changes. So they also added, you know, you can edit and forward SMSs. That's fun because sometimes I'll receive an SMS that I just don't want to remember ever. And I delete it out of there.
I can't imagine anyone ever sending you an SMS that isn't worth keeping.
Well, they may be worth keeping, not necessarily on my phone where everybody else can see it, but you know, deep within my heart, I store it there instead.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah.
How many people do you share your iPhone with that are?
Well, I'm lazy, so I don't like to have a passcode lock on there, and sometimes you know, I want to hide stuff from myself too.
I thought maybe you had groupies or something like that.
Yeah. And I also, we talked about the spotlight, and that's, you know, of course, you have the phone-wide search, but you can also search like through the iPod, which is really cool. You have the push notifications, which obviously rock. Have you guys felt about the push notifications so far?
All right. With that, the AP News app, I'm trying to figure out what the rhyme or reason is to the messages that get pushed out. And I'm trying to figure out how they're figuring out the timing, because I'll get a message like I got the text or the push message about Farrah Fawcett dying. And I get that like 2 hours or something after the news had been out and was already on the AP Newswire. I mean, why did that take so long? And then how do they decide which messages are going to get sent out? Now, with the AIM application, I'm totally loving it because I can have AIM running and or not running. And when someone sends me a message, it just shows up so I know to hop back into the AIM application and answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played with the AP News app. I just have a Beehive going.
Well, you know, instant messaging was always a joke to me on the iPhone. What are the odds that you and the person you're trying to talk to both have that app front and center at the same time? It's like the odds of winning the lottery. But so now it's like, to me, instant messaging on the phone is actually a useful tool that you can rely on for the first time.
Yeah. It's been working well for me. Beehive has a timeout of 24 hours, so you have to keep opening the app every once in a while. But otherwise, it's really nice. And
yeah, I've actually been relying on it all day today because I had to abandon the TMO Central Towers for a while because we had a water leak issue.
Aha. So you're at the Panera?
Not anymore. I'm actually back in my office because I figured trying to do this show and then I did macOS Ken right before this, trying to do that from Panera, that was not going to happen.
Were you on day six?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Called it.
Yeah. Bill, you win a prize.
Bill wins a prize.
Awesome. So also find my phone is up and working, and you know, when it was in my hand and I, you know, I couldn't find it and I sent the message to my phone, I found it.
And your hand vibrated?
My hand vibrated.
That's sweet.
So I can remotely ask my phone to do that. So that's cool. And I guess someone has actually used it to find their phone legitimately after it's been taken. So.
Yeah. Which, you know, when that guy did that, it makes for a great story, but holy crap, he's lucky. He could have really gotten hurt bad.
Although you don't know. I mean, the gang that stole his phone could have been a bunch of 9-year-olds. You know, these things tend to get exaggerated sometimes. I don't know who this guy is. I don't want to accuse him of anything. But, you know, stories have a way of growing the more times you tell them.
That's true. But there's some mean 9-year-olds out there.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, they don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They don't have a podcast.
But you can threaten to unfollow them on Twitter or unfriend or on them
MySpace.
On Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay,
see,
there is that.
Again, that's the thing, you know, I mean, they have to put something on their MySpace, you know, that they menaced some people with a podcast.
Yeah, I guess so.
There should be a silent alarm app next that, you know, help. I'm being menaced by 9-year-olds.
There has to be an app for that.
I'm sure there already is.
I mean, there's already the That's What She Said app.
Oh, where is that? Why don't I have that yet?
I think that app is so popular it sold out.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So also cut, copy, paste. We knew about that. That's fantastic.
I have to ask you about the cut, copy, paste. Have you tried to copy someone's phone number to drop into like a text message?
Yeah, that's stupid. You can't do it. You go into the phone application and you go and you hold down on it and it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I accidentally dialed someone today, and the phone started ringing, and I thought about just hanging up, and then I thought, well, no, then they'll call me back and want to know if I needed to talk to them. So I ended up waiting and leaving a voicemail saying, hey, I'm sorry I accidentally just called you, but the copy function on the iPhone doesn't work.
Yeah.
But you have to go into that edit.
You have to hit edit, and then, yeah, they're going to fix that, I'm sure. They're going to figure that out quickly.
Yeah, they're probably on top of that, just like they're on top of adding to-dos to the iPhone.
Well, you can sync your notes now, and I've gotten lots and lots of duplicate notes already, so it's fantastic.
Those are the important ones.
Yeah. I mean, they're all duplicated, so I know, you know, they're all important.
Yeah, and the funny thing is for me, no notes are syncing.
Oh, well, that's handy.
That's to balance out you having multiple copies of your notes.
Well, yeah, I'll turn off the multiple option and turn on the Jeff gets to use his notes sync option.
That'd be sweet. I appreciate that.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, good. But otherwise, cut, copy, paste is really nice, especially, you know, when I'm typing something out, you don't have to, you don't have to sit on the delete button now to delete a whole bunch of text. You just, you know, did the double click, double tap and, you know, delete it. It's really nice. I like it for that feature.
Now, did you ever do the thing before we had OS 3 where you needed to delete a lot of text, and so you just hold down the delete button and after the first few characters it starts deleting word by word?
Yeah, it does that, but still this is, you know.
Look, I was just trying to show off that I actually knew a feature of the iPhone, okay?
Okay.
Oh, the first time I ever tripped over that one, I went out of my mind because I couldn't figure out how to get it to stop. And it was like, everyone just said, oh my God, it's going to delete my tweet. And of course, you're panicking over nothing. You lost 12 words of unimpressive stuff here about the tweet anyway. Yeah. But it's like,
well, then
total
you
panic that one.
Then you have the shake to undo.
Yeah, but don't tell people about that. You know
what's nice, though? I believe developers can actually plug into that. And because I've been using the OmniFocus, the latest version, if you go into the settings, they have some experimental features. You can flip that on and have a shake to undo an OmniFocus. So if you check something off and you're too lazy to just uncheck it, you can shake it and click the undo.
I'll go turn that on.
Yeah, and it's
just so I can shake my phone.
You also have the landscape in OmniFocus.
You know, I was so excited that landscape was coming in iPhone OS 3. And I found every application that I've gone to use it in, I've ended up switching back to the portrait mode because I'm more comfortable with it because that's all I've used for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I find that the keyboard is larger in portrait mode. The keys are further away and it takes me longer to type. And I spent a long time just assuming that it was because I wasn't used to it. You know, typing in Safari, whichever ones could do it. What is so funny? What did I say?
I'm laughing at something on my computer.
I sure you are. But no, I found that it's just, you know, everybody says, oh, well, I have fat fingers, I can't do it. But I managed to go a lot faster on the smaller keyboard, I think it's just because it's not as far away. Sometimes I turn it to read an email, but not to reply.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who is the only person? I think it's Mike Arrington who complains about the keyboard on the iPhone. But let's not get into talking about Mike Arrington. That's something we don't want to get into.
You get a B-roll of Leo calling him names.
We can insert that at the end. So there's also, you've got the ability to select multiple photos in the Photos app. So you can, you know, do a batch delete, or you can even copy the photos that you select, or even, throw those into an email. So all those guys with the multiple photo email apps, you know, those are irrelevant now. But, you know, at least we have it built in and it makes a lot more sense. There's also, like I said, Note Sync. You can do voice memos. Voice memos is cool because you can actually pop out of the app once you start recording and keep recording.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and you got the Safari autofill, which you have to go and opt in the settings. Go to Settings, Safari, under autofill, you can turn that on, and then it'll actually start saving your login info. I don't understand why it doesn't sync your keychain, but maybe that'll come later.
I bet that will end up being a .Mac feature.
That'll be nice. I mean, that's fine.
Excuse me, Bumble Me.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that. Shake to shuffle's there, which is fun. A woman backed into me a few weeks ago while my phone was playing, and it totally works.
Okay, that's the best line of this show so far. I have shake shuffle, a woman back into me, and it totally works.
Yep, it totally works.
You haven't said whether she walked into you backwards in the grocery store or you've gotten a car accident.
I'll leave that up to our listeners' imaginations. Okay.
I totally
or some other scenario, but your woman is backing up. Never mind.
Just now, I have an image in my head of a very large woman backing up, and I'm like I hear like a backup signal.
See, I'm picturing a woman that's a little bit too big for the polyester pants she has on, the big beehive hairdo, backs into you, almost knocks you over, the song changes, and she turns around, and while she's chewing her gum with her cat-eye glasses, she goes, oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
That happens to you a lot, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah. What, that doesn't happen to you?
No. Huh. There's also stereo Bluetooth, which... someone in our forums will be very happy about the guy who comments on every Bluetooth story saying, well, what about stereo Bluetooth? So I tried that with my iMuffs and it's pretty nice. If you have a car thing, you know, the Bluetooth in the car, that'll work too. The only thing I don't like, you know, if you have the car doing that, I would much rather plug it in because you get to charge, but you know, there are a lot of other nice features in the 3.0. And of course the iPhone 3GS, which Apple has since removed the space between the 3G and the S. So it is truly like our, the Apple 2GS.
Yeah, that just warms me up inside. Mm-hmm. And I really mean that.
It helps me. Well, it helps with typing, blog posts about the iPhone.
Don't you use Text Expander?
Do you have one set up for the
yes.
iPhone 3GS?
Yes.
See, I'm crazy with my Text Expander. I have, shout out to... Smile on my Mac because they totally rule. go get Text Expander. It'll change your life. But, you know, I have it for like my name, like my first name. I'll type dash M. Don't tell anybody. I know nobody listens to this, but don't tell anybody, you know, for writing my name in email or whatever. It's really good. Especially, you know, it's cool for, you know, your iPhone's unique identifier if you're going to, you know, get ad hoc apps or anything like that.
True.
Yeah. So iPhone 3GS. I have one.
Sorry, I'm choking over the inherent crappiness of that name. Remember when Apple used to understand how to properly name a product, like back in the good old days of, you know, 2005?
Last year. Yeah, I don't know. It's aside from the name, honestly, I think it's well worth it. The speed is my favorite feature in the iPhone 3GS. It makes me really want to use the heck out of my phone again.
I was really impressed with the speed. I don't have one yet. And so I've been playing with other people. So I live vicariously through other people's iPhones right now. But when I was testing out just some side-by-side comparison stuff on the iPhone launch day, and I had my 3G beside a 3GS, and I was playing with Google Earth, letting it find locations. Man, it was so much faster and smoother on the 3GS than it was on my 3G. I was really impressed with the speed of the 3GS.
Well, the my OmniFocus database is stupid huge at this point. And I sent my database over to them to see if, you know, they can make it better because I have too much stuff in there, but it's just, you know, it's just going to be that big. And it wouldn't sync over .Mac or what am I doing? Mobile me.
Sorry that I totally started that.
You did.
My
start
bad.
That. Yeah. So it won't sync over the, it wouldn't sync over the mobile me. So I was doing Bonjour Sync for a while. And with the iPhone 3GS, not only does my database pop up and run quickly and I can actually add stuff, I used to dread actually putting stuff into my database on my iPhone. And so that pulled, you know, all of the convenience factor out of having it on my phone because it would just take forever. And now with the iPhone 3GS, I can actually use my OmniFocus again. So hurrah.
No, I'm actually okay. Really looking forward. The only reason I haven't bought one, it actually has nothing to do with upgrade pricing, but AT&T managed to screw up the name on my account again. So it's been like a 3 or 4 year battle, and I would actually gone and bought one on launch day. But it made me realize today how much I want one, because a friend called and said, I'm getting my first iPhone. Should I get the 3G for $99 or the 3GS? And, you know, she said capacity doesn't matter. I don't need any more than 8 gigs, but is it worth it to pay double to get the 3GS? And with hesitation, I said, absolutely. It's faster, better battery, better camera, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I realized, boy, I really can't wait until I can get this cleared up so I can go get one myself.
Yeah. Well, you know why I really like it? Yeah. You got the voice control. This is my favorite feature. Hang on. Call Mr. Cuddles iPhone.
Jeff Gamma. Mobile.
Tell me you rigged that somehow.
Kind of. Well, you know, you have the completely useless nickname feature in address book. It'll actually read that.
Oh, okay.
We now have a new best line for this podcast.
Call Mr. Cuddles.
Yes.
Okay, hang on. Let me write that down. So,
call him on iTools. So,
the voice control thing is, you know, it's lots of fun. It's not perfect. I'm sure they're going to improve it, but it's super fun to, you know, play the Killers or, you know, and then it'll say, you know, calling this person you haven't talked to in 5 years. So
it's sort of like an adventure, and it might open up old relationships for you.
Yeah. Or make you want to throw your phone quickly, you know, out on the Florida Turnpike.
Or make you call me when, in fact, you're trying to flirt with someone else.
I'm always trying to flirt with you, Jeff.
You're the sweetest ever.
Aw. Yep. So what else? We got the camera. We got the video recording features that totally works and is great. You can post to YouTube. I Twittered a video of my cat that I posted to YouTube right from my phone. And the quality is fantastic. The autofocus is really nice. So the camera quality is much improved. You got the compass in there. It's kind of crazy. It doesn't always work great, especially if you're on the road, but it's a fun feature to have in there. And just overall, I think the speed is really the feature to talk about. I can't stress enough that speed is greatly improved on this. So go check out the iPhone 3GS. It's pretty sweet. And
all right. I have another feature that I really like on it, which totally surprised me. I like how the oleophobic screen feels.
Yeah, it does feel different, and it totally works too.
Yeah, it does. It seems like it really is doing a much better job at keeping the gunky stuff off of iPhone screens.
Yeah, and Bill Nye actually explained how that works on Gizmodo. I'm not going to get into that, but you know, you can check out the show notes, and there's a link there back to that. It's really interesting.
And Bill Nye is the science guy.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
He knows
about
his stuff. So it's oleophobic is how you pronounce that.
If he had had a different last name, would he have had to like pick a different career? Bill Smith,
yes.
Science guy. He would have been like some Bill Smith, the scientist. He would have had to have a lisp just to – another joke that started off strong and just went downhill on its own accord.
Well, that's why you didn't end up being a science person or some other kind of career, because your name didn't really rhyme with anything.
Except Balmer. So I think eventually I'm going to end up having to run Microsoft further into the ground.
Or maybe it's Bill Palmer, the guy that saved us all from Balmer.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
If we set that to music, it'll flow better.
I think it's gonna have to be a rap, actually.
Yeah.
It's a little bit choppy, you know. Palmer, I'll save you from.
So, do we want to talk about? I'm not even gonna ask, because I'm just gonna talk about it anyway.
What if we don't answer?
Well, I'm just gonna talk about it anyway.
Okay.
The 3GS upgrade, do we want to call it a debacle? That's a real question.
Less of a debacle because AT&T blinked at the last minute. I think it really could have been a PR disaster for Apple on launch day.
I think the blinking kind of even more so messed it up, because I think a majority of the people weren't eligible for that magic upgrade price scenario. So it took me a while. I spent the night in front of the Apple store. I wasn't eligible, it turned out. I had to pay $700. I was going to. I didn't actually pay for $700. I'm not crazy in that way anyway. But so after spending half the day asking AT&T and Apple, I determined how AT&T actually determines whether or not you're eligible for that upgrade. And so the main factor is whether or not you purchased your iPhone 3G in July, August, or September of 2008. That's what, you know, everybody thought was the only thing. But the next thing that most people weren't catching is that you have to actually be bringing in at least $100 in revenue to AT&T. So if your bill is, you know, $105.98 every month, you're probably not getting AT&T that much money, you know, because you're paying taxes and fees too. So they actually have to be pocketing $100 or more for you to be eligible. So if that works out to be true, then you also have to be in good standing with your account, having, you know, paid AT&T on time every month, none of that bad stuff. And then, you know, there are people who are eligible for that, but I'm not paying enough for that to work out. So it was good that they did that. So it did help out a lot of people who, you know, and it actually makes business sense, because they're probably getting their money back on that loan for the iPhone 3G that they gave. So,
right. Yeah, okay. So in essence, when you pay the higher price for the iPhone, you're buying yourself out of the old contract.
Yeah, kind of. We'll go with that. You can also enable tethering on the iPhone 3GS with that nice little hack we have on the site. You just go to you click the link on your iPhone. It'll install a little profile, and Adam Christensen's been playing with it. Of course, I've been playing with it too. I haven't had any issues. Adam, who sadly couldn't be here because he's driving his car right now, has tried it. His visual voicemail was working for a while. It stopped. He uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and then Tadot works again. So, you know, at least you can, it's not a hack at all. It's just a little profile that you install. So if something goes wrong, you can just uninstall it, and we'll have the link to that in the show notes. And we're giving away a Mophie Juice Pack Air on the website. You can check out the link in the show note. Basically, you know, if you post in the forums, it kind of acts as an entry into that contest. So check that out if you're interested in checking out a Mophie Juice Pack Air. And
have you tried the Air yet?
Yeah, I have one. It's nice. It's really thin. It's thinner than any other battery pack / case that I've played with.
Okay. I have the regular juice pack.
It's much thinner, and it's an actual case, so it's really nice.
Oh, maybe I should take a look at one.
It doesn't quite have the same capacity as even the regular juice pack, but since I got an Air, I've been leaving all the other ones sitting gathering dust because, well, like you said, Michael, it's just so much more ergonomic. It's not some weirdly shaped thing that doesn't feel right in your pocket like the others all are.
It doesn't really add any heft to it, so it's cool. So with that, let's move on to our iPhone picks. Jeff.
Oh, what do you have? My iPhone pick. Hold on, I have to look at my iPhone because I forgot what it's called. I'm picking a game this week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh crap.
Bill, do you want to go while he looks for his?
I found it.
Sure.
Okay. I'm gonna pick whatever Bill he was go. Picking. That's fine.
Bill's gonna go.
Okay. Jeff, what were you picking so I can pick that before you do?
Okay. I was gonna pick Wild West. Go ahead and pick that.
My pick is Wild West. What does it do, Jeff?
It's a pinball game for your iPhone.
Oh, so Wild West Pinball.
Yeah, and it's free right now.
Ooh, cool. It's a nice game. Very well done. It doesn't look, you know, all that fantastic if you're not a fan of the Wild West theme. But it's a very well done pinball game.
Yeah, I was impressed with the, I guess I'll call it the physics. And just watching the ball bounce around and move as I would expect a real pinball to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a fun little game, and it's free.
Cool. Bill, what do you have besides Wild West Pinball?
Wild East Pinball? No, well, you know, every famous musician out there has an iPhone app these days, and it's usually just a promotional thing, concert dates and stuff, and some are better than others, but Paul Van Dyke, the DJ, has made an app. It went a whole different direction.
Oh, cool.
It's an actual app for DJs. You can measure your beats per minute and noise levels and... you know, stuff you could actually use on stage while you're DJing. So, not a DJ myself. I can't make any use of it on my own, but I can tell that the stuff is there. It's easily accessible. And it's got a Twitter client in there, for some reason too. So just for that, it's my pick of the week.
Everything needs a Twitter client.
Absolutely. Well, does Wild West Pinball have a Twitter client?
No, but it's free.
So the Paul Van Dyke app is called PVD DJ app.
Yeah.
And it's
$1.99.
I know nothing against your Paul Van Dyke app, Bill, but I saw one by the Bajango, I believe they made a neat application called Beats. It's the same price, and I'm thinking it might be better, but I'm not sure. So check them both out. I don't know.
In that case, I'd like to change my pick to Bajango Beats.
Okay, Bajango Beats, $1.99.
Is it too late to... Well, no, you know, it's cool. And like, it seems like everything in the App Store, if you're looking for a certain concept or functionality, you could find so many different variations and pick the one that is either the highest quality or closest suited to what you're looking for. It's just nice to have that duplication.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess it's my turn, and I'm going to pick one that I've already picked in the past. I think it was my first pick on the when the App Store came out. So I'm picking OmniFocus again because I love them. The guys at the OmniFocus, at the Omni Group, they're my BFFs. And because she may hate me for this, but I think she's been wanting me to mention her Twitter at some point to get her some followers. She, Michaela at the Omni Group used to be the product manager for OmniFocus. She was, the product manager when we met up at Macworld, and, now she does some other stuff at the Omni Group, but her Twitter is KBOT. So KAEBOT, follow her on Twitter and make her happy. And, Yeah, but my pick is OmniFocus, and that is because there's a new update out, and it has search. Hooray.
Sweet. That's very cool.
I've been wanting search on that for a long time. Not only that, it has some really nice 3.0 features in there. I think, did I mention this before or after the show? I don't know. It has Shake to Undo. It has a landscape version, a landscape mode, and it seems a little snappier. And the locate me feature actually pulls up a Google Maps now, so you can see your location on Google Maps relative to, you know, you can see a bunch of pins in the map where, you know, your
where all the stores are that you need to go.
Precisely. Thank you. And you can also get a list. So it's much cooler. I like it. So if you're a GTD person, if you don't know about GTD, you really, after getting into it, you have to read the book, I think, to actually truly get it. But if you're into GTD, go for OmniFocus. It rocks. $19.99 in the App Store. It's really expensive. But if you're into GTD, it's the app to have.
You know, I'm not into GTD, and it's still the app to have for me.
Awesome. And they won some awards at Macworld, which I don't know if we ever mentioned on the podcast. They won an award from the Mac Observer. They got the Mac Observer Editor's Choice Award, and we just happen to have the Mac Observer's editor here.
But what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
I hate them. Mac Observer, they're awful. Oh, you're the same Jeff Gamet? Sorry.
Yeah, and then they also won an Editor's Choice Award from the iPhone Alley.
Yeah, so that was actually really cool. They totally deserved the awards that we both gave them.
They've got a lot of stuff going on. They work with some people who know about GTD who I'm not supposed to say. And so.
Oh, tell me and then I'll say it.
That seems like a trick, Jeff.
You think?
You snuffed that one right out, didn't you?
So, of course, you can go to iPhoneAlley.com for more tips, news, and reviews. iPhoneAlley.com. You can share a tip, an iPhone tip, something cool you found. Hit the contact link on the side of the page. If you want an application reviewed, you can also let us know there. Our iPhone picks and show notes are at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. You can send feedback to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. Let us know how you feel about the podcast. And, of course, Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer and the iPod Observer every day. That's where
he lives. Where
he's at the TMO Towers. Which one is it?
I'm at the Central Towers.
The Central Towers of TMO. Yeah. And, of course, at twitter.com/jgamet and twitter.com, or not Twitter, Twitter, jefforama.com. And, of course, Bill Palmer is at iProng Magazine, iProng.com and twitter.com/Bill Palmer.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm at twitter.com/Michael Johnston. That is not where you're going to find the iPhone stuff. You're going to find something else. And iPhone.
Yes, something else. That's a great way of describing it.
And of course, iPhone Alley's Twitter, where you will get the iPhone stuff, is twitter.com/iPhone Alley. And with that, another episode of the iPhone Alley podcast is in the can.
So wait a second, you broke into someone's house.
Mm-hmm. He's tied up.
I'm tied up. Chair.
Yeah.
So that you could report a podcast.
Yeah.
You are so the man.
Well, I mean, mouse, it's for the kids.
Right? So what are we going to do?
Well, yeah.
So what are we going to do? A stylist, right?
I'm told they don't look at mine. They follow me and then block me at the same time. So, you know, good for them.
I don't understand why anybody follows me. We've been over that before, but I don't understand. I'm still going up. I'm at 991. I'm gonna break 1,000 at some point, and then I'll be too cool to talk to you.
Who wants a stylist? You know, you will be.
You have to get them and put them away, and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. No.
Made on a Mac. Motherfucker.